Please join me in the invitation to worship. This is a good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. Once we were no people, now we are God's people.
Hallelujah.
Christ Jesus has opened wide the door to God.
Hallelujah.
Stand and let us rejoice in God's presence together. Let us pray. Almighty God, through Jesus you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we, who celebrate our Lord's resurrection, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. And good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to this beautiful place this morning. Welcome to Newburgh United Methodist. I'm Chris Nunley, your lead pastor, and it's great to have you with us this morning. We want to invite you this morning not only to worship with us fully, but also to let us know that you were here today. Again, friends, this is very important to us. I know members, you've heard this time and time again, but we need you to remind you that we really want you to fill this paper out inside your bulletin. Just tear it out, fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. Let us know that you were here. Our guests, we're grateful for your presence here this morning as well. And there's a place for you to fill it out and let us know that you were here. We'd like to get to know you. Also, guests, your first time with us this morning, you can either drop it in the offering plate or drop it by our welcome center out in the foyer. We have a gift for you. So right after the church, or right after worship this morning, you can stop there and pick that up and drop that off. Several announcements in your bulletins this morning. I'll let you take a look at those. There's a lot of important things happening today in the life of the church and in this week in the life of the church, so I'll let you take a look through those. One of the things that's really critical is that's happening this afternoon. First off, at noon, right after our second service today, our youth are putting on a spaghetti lunch. So if you'd like to come back for a nice luncheon, our youth are putting together a really great lunch today. And then following that, at 2 o'clock, is our church conference. Today is the day we're going to vote on our Fruitful Congregation Journey prescriptions. If you haven't had a chance to read those yet, those are still online. You can check our webpage at newburgumc.org. There's a link there that takes you to our resource page, and all those things are there if you'd like to read the prescriptions again. But we'll read them again this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and then we'll take a paper ballot. All members of the church are allowed to come and vote. If you're not a member of the church, you can come to the meeting, but you cannot vote. But we do invite you to come this afternoon. It's going to be a really important time for us to gather and think and pray and vision and take our next steps toward what God has for us here at Newburgh United Methodist. So that's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. There's other things going on in the life of the church. One of them is right here this morning. We have our table set for Holy Communion as a reminder to us that Christ is present in the midst of our lives always. And so we invite you, whether you're a member or not at this church or any church, you're welcome to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. When we make the invitation a little later in the service, we'll call you forward. The ushers will direct you. Come forward to receive the bread, touch it to the surface of the cup, and eat with great thanksgiving. It's a day to meet Christ in all of his fullness, in his resurrection joy this morning. We hope you'll participate with us in this sacrament today. Now, as we continue our time of worship, I want to invite the children to come down and join me this morning. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you? Are you good today? Yeah, are you sleepy still? You're really quiet. Haley, I got some questions for you this morning just to think about a little bit. How many of you have ever seen a ghost? No? Never seen a ghost? If you saw a ghost, what would you do if you ever saw a ghost? You would scream? Yeah, you'd run away? That would be kind of scary, wouldn't it, if you thought you saw a ghost? I've never seen a ghost either, but I've always thought, if I ever saw a ghost, I would be really afraid. How about this? Are you afraid of anything? Afraid of spiders? Yeah, I understand that. Anything else you're afraid of? Afraid of heights? Tornadoes? Yeah, that's snakes. Yeah, we're afraid of a lot of things. Are you just afraid of sitting in front of a bunch of people? There's a lot of people that wouldn't want to sit up here in front of all these other people. It's kind of scary to be in front of people. Well, we're afraid of a lot of things in our world, and there's a lot of people that are afraid of a lot of stuff, not just spiders, but we're afraid of the future. We're afraid of trusting Jesus. We're afraid of all kinds of things. Our disciples were afraid of things, too. When Jesus died, before he came back to life, they were afraid about what their future was going to be. But yet Jesus came into their life. He came into that room where they were gathered, and it said that they were afraid. Even though they saw Jesus after his resurrection, they didn't expect him. And so when he showed up, they thought they saw a ghost. That's kind of scary. And they were afraid. But you know what Jesus says to them? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In fact, Jesus wants us to know that we don't have to ever be afraid again. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of snakes or spiders. We don't have to be afraid of anything because, well, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you forever. And because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid anymore. That's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? Even if we see things or we see things that might really make us afraid just a little bit, if we remember that Jesus is always with us, we don't have to be afraid anymore. I like that idea myself because I don't like to be afraid and I don't like to be scared of things. But Jesus is holding my hand, and he's holding yours. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the things in this world that sometimes can give us fear. But we also thank you, God, for those things that can really give us blessings, too. And we thank you for your hand holding on to ours all of our life that reminds us that we never have to be afraid again. So thank you, God, for walking with us in the midst of all of our life. And we thank you for these children in Jesus' name. Thank you, boys and girls. You can be seated.
Good morning. Perhaps you noticed the pretty display on the way in for Mission Guatemala. We'd just like to take a few minutes to talk about that. So let me take you back 6 to 8 months. When the mission teams started the search for a mission that we could make a bigger difference in here in the church. And as we started that search, it was Providence that Mission Guatemala also contacted our church, looking for someone to have a bigger opportunity in their mission where they serve the poor people in Guatemala. And so several of us made a trip to Guatemala in January, and we visited the mission. This mission is actually run and founded several years ago by Tom Heaton. He was a pastor at Methodist Temple for many, many years. So, and what we found there is above this town of Panajachel, about 15 miles up in the mountains, there is a small community that really had no clinic or pharmacy they were being served by. And Mission Guatemala established this clinic there, and it's a huge benefit to the people there. If they didn't have this clinic, I'm not sure where they would go for their medical help. And so the need in this mission, in this clinic, was they serve about 6,000 people each year, and they have a pharmacy where they can give the people the drugs right after their appointment. And they were asking for someone to provide, you know, financial support and hands-on support for that pharmacy. And so Cassie's going to tell you a little bit more about what we can do for their help.
When you leave the church today, please stop by the display and pick up a couple of the tags hanging on the tree. Each tag has a medication requested by the physician at Mission Guatemala. Many have the generic name on them. We really don't want this to be difficult. Don't worry if the number of tablets is not what's on the bottle. Someone mentioned one of the tags has zinc and magnesium on it, and they weren't able to find that. That's okay. Buy zinc or buy magnesium. They're not real picky. A medical doctor will be distributing the medication in the native language. They are so thankful for whatever we can send them. Also, if there's a really good buy on another over-the-counter medicine, buy it. We will ship it. Again, they will be so excited to get whatever we can send them. One important thing is the clinic is licensed, and they will not give out any medication that's expired. And it will take a while for our box to be shipped there. So the expiration date needs to be at least 8 months out. All drugs should be returned either to the mission display or the church office. They need to be handed to someone, so don't just leave the drugs laying out. We are really excited about this project. It is going to change the lives of so many people. Now, Joe's going to tell us about the future.
Yeah, we had such a good trip down there and saw the good work that was being done. We, as a mission team, have decided to try to make an ongoing partnership and relationship with Mission Guatemala down there. So the pharmacy project is part of that, to support them with the over-the-counter medicines and the pharmacy products they need. But we're also going to schedule another trip next year, and we wanted to let you know about that so you can be thinking about it. It'll be in February of 2014. These trips are about 1 week long, usually leave on a weekend and come home on a weekend. The cost for us this year, each person, was about $1,350. And for that, you get airfare, you get great food, all your meals are prepared and served by these Mayan women that Tom Heaton has there in a wonderful dining area. And you get a hotel, a very comfortable hotel, and all transportation from the airport and around around the area there to and from the mission. So it's really quite a bargain, if you ask me. But you also get a lot of internal reward from this trip. You'll be helping a lot of people that really need the help. Some of the things you might be doing is working, there are several sites. One is at his actual mission, might be working there. He's got a number of buildings on the site there. Some of them need remodeling. There was another team while we were there that was doing remodeling of a couple of rooms in the site. You might be working at a nearby Mayan school or neighborhood school. Also doing some painting. One group helped build a bathroom. basketball court. You might be, one of them were building a little kitchen. So there's all kinds of things going on and plenty of things to do. The other thing, you might be installing stoves in a home, which is basically a hut. They've done that before. This work, though it sounds heavy work, it's suitable for men and women. They have a construction manager there that helps you, and he knows all the local construction techniques, and so it's all put together very well. There's a translator there who knows Spanish and three Mayan languages and English, so that really helps. Usually the last day is a day of touring. It's a beautiful area. It's volcanoes all around. The climate is, in February, is about 75 degrees and sunny every day. So it's an interesting, fun, and rewarding trip, and I guarantee you, you'll be appreciated. They really outwardly appreciate what you do down there. If you have any questions, you can ask any of us or Todd. We were there this year. Hope you'll consider it. It's a great opportunity. Thank you.
Not quite that tall. First scripture reading is from readings from the book of Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from the one who is and was and is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sins with his blood, who made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and always. Amen. Look, he is coming from the clouds. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. This is so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and was and is coming, the Almighty. Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, now I'm alive forever and always. I have the keys of death and the graves.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able and listen to the word of God in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 62 through 66, and chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. The next day, which was the day after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. They said, "Sir, remember that while the deceiver was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days I will arise.' Therefore, order the grave to be sealed until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people, 'He's been raised from the dead.' This last deception will be the worst than the first," Pilate replied. "You have soldiers for guard duty. Go and make it as secure as you know how." Then they went and secured the tomb by sealing the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. "Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go tell the disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you.' With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Over these next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the reaction of the disciples and all those people around the resurrection story, and how they reacted to Jesus, and how that can teach us something about our reaction response to this event called the resurrection. So I hope you'll join us for these next several weeks together. It's going to be a lot of fun as we dig into these resurrection stories. I invite you to bring your Bibles with you, because we're going to be looking at a couple of important things through the scriptures each of these weeks. And if you have your Bible this morning, turn to this passage and at the end of Matthew 27, the beginning of Matthew 28. We'll look at a couple things there this morning. Before we jump into the message, though, I do want to say something about the Guatemala Mission Project and the pharmacy project especially. It really is an exciting thing that we're doing. It's so impactful for the people of Guatemala, and it's something that we should be really proud of. You should be proud of your mission team and the hard work that they've done that leads up to this project and the work that's still ahead of us together. So completing this mission, this pharmacy project at this time will lead into us doing it again in another 6 or 8 months to continue to feed medicines to those people in Guatemala. And then I'm planning on going along on that trip in February, so hoping to co-lead it with some of you folks. It's going to be a great mission time, and I'm really proud of the work that they're doing. I can't wait to see it myself. Hope you'll join me. Now let's jump into this project together as we focus on the reaction this morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the power of the morning. We know, God, that you are present with us always, and we're grateful for that. But now, God, as we begin to understand more about this resurrection story, will you make yourself known to us and your word known to us in this moment together? Use us all in this moment of meditation. Use those who listen in with us on the internet and use me especially, so that what we hear this day is nothing less than the very word you speak as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Amen. Have you ever done something that you're just, well, you kind of regret? Nobody? Never done anything that you've regretted? Well, years ago, I took my wife with a bunch of other folks to Kings Island. You've been to Kings Island. Some of you have been to Kings Island. It's a great park. It's one of those amazing places. We've always taken our youth. It was close to where we lived at, in central Indiana, so it was only a couple hours away. And so I took my wife to Kings Island this one time. We had some other friends and youth with us, and I told her, I just really want you to ride this one ride with me. It kind of looks like this. In fact, it looks exactly like this. This is the Beast. The Beast is, at the time when they built this roller coaster, was the tallest, the fastest, the longest wooden roller coaster that had ever been built. It was the most amazing ride. I remember riding that right after it was built, and I rode it over and over and over again. It was an amazing ride. So it was years later, and I took my wife there, and I said, look, if you never ride another roller coaster in your life, you gotta ride this one. And this was her first. Yeah, you understand. It was her first roller coaster, and I put her on the best roller coaster ever. And this is kind of going over the top of the hill. It's a long ride. It's about 3 minutes long. It's really incredible. 65 miles an hour, tunnels and curves, and, well, let me just say, Peggy didn't see any of it. She felt it. She had no idea what that experience really was like, because as we get to the top of the hill, I look over at her, and at the top of the very first hill, I look at her, and she is holding on with white knuckles onto the thing in front of us. And remember, this is at that time when all you had was this lap bar. There was no harnesses or anything. It was just like you and a seat and a little bitty piece of metal in front of you. She was holding on to that thing for dear life, and I asked her to just open her eyes. And as she opened her eyes, all she could see was that we were above the trees by many feet. And she said, no. And she closed her eyes back and she didn't see anything else. At the end of that ride, she gets off the ride and she's like white as a ghost, literally white as a ghost. She's looking at me and she says, don't you ever make me ride another roller coaster again. The reason I say that is because I'm really proud of Peggy and that she did ride this roller coaster that day, and she hasn't ridden much since then, but she has, she faced her fear that day in some way. Now, since that time, I will say that Peggy has faced her fears in a whole lot of other ways, and I'm really proud of her for that. I was looking for a picture to show you this morning of, this will be done here in just a minute. I hope nobody's getting sick. If you feel like, just raise your hands and just... A few years ago, we took a sabbatical to the Holy Land. We were there for a couple of months, and when we were first arrived, we arrived at the Tel Aviv airport. We go out, we get into our rental car, and we take off down the road to find where we were supposed to stay. It was a couple hours away from the airport. And once we found the right direction to go, we even had our GPS with a new Israel map that would kind of lead us the way, and so we found our way to the Galilee. And we get to the Galilee, and it's this long ride up to the top of this mountain, and you really can't, you don't really notice that you're driving up to the top of a mountain until you get there. And then when you get to the top of this mountain that's surrounding the Sea of Galilee, you just look down, and it's like this bowl, is the Sea of Galilee is in this big bowl with mountains all the way around it, and you're on top of it. And where our place was that we were going to be staying was off the main road, where it kind of takes this snaky path all the way down into Tiberias, which is right on the sea, right at the edge of the sea. We had to take off on this little bitty road that goes along this this little edge on the side of this hill, the side of this mountain that's several hundred feet down on the side, and Peggy's on the passenger side as we're taking off down this way, and it was just a beautiful ride. We were driving through this valley to get around to this other mountain, to drive up halfway up the mountain to the little place that we were staying. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And it wasn't for several days. We do this every day to get to our place, and we left there to go do some other traveling around from day to day. And it wasn't for several days until I realized that Peggy hadn't opened her eyes yet on that little trek along that ridge of that mountain to get back to our cottage. And one day I just stopped along the side of the road, and I said, just open your eyes. Just see what God has laid out before us. And she did. After that, she began to open her eyes every day that would drive through that, and she would see the beauty in that. She faced her fears standing, and sometimes we even stop and get out of the car and just stand on the edge of that ridge to look out over the Sea of Galilee. And had she not faced her fears that first time, she would have missed something so beautiful. Now, since that time, she's done amazing things. She's faced her fears in a lot of ways. She stood on the edge of Mount Arbel looking out over the Sea of Galilee, standing on the very edge of it. She's afraid of heights, and yet she's been up to some really high places over the last several years together. She rock climbed 2 weeks ago for the very first time, and it was really awesome to watch. When we face our fears, something happens. But too often, we're afraid. We're afraid of all kinds of things. I've been afraid of things. I'm still afraid of things. I'm not sorry to admit it. There are things that I'm still wonder about my future, about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm afraid about messing up my kids, or my kids will mess up. I'm afraid of what's going to happen in this world for my grandkids to grow up in. I'm still afraid of a lot of things. But one of the things that I've discovered is that, well, we're all afraid of things. You're afraid of things. Ask the kids a minute ago what they're afraid of. I bet you could pick a list as long as your arm of the things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of a lot of stuff. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of what might happen with North Korea. We're afraid of whether our troops are ever going to make it home. We're afraid of what the economy is going to do. We're afraid of our retirement or whether we're even going to be able to. We're afraid of whether we're going to get cancer. We're afraid of a lot of stuff in the midst of our world. I'm not going to name everything we're going to be afraid of, but I'm sure you could name something fresh, something new, something unique to you that you're afraid of. And the reason this is important to us is because in the stories this morning, what we find is there's lots of different fears that are really talked about just in this short passage, these short few verses. Fears of the Romans, fears of the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, the fears of the women, the disciples, the guards, the disciples. There's all kinds of fear in this story of the resurrection. So I wanted to look at it for just a minute together because I think these fears can teach us something about, well, how we should react and respond to this Jesus who came up from the dead. I love this passage in Matthew 27. It's right as they put Jesus in the tomb. It's like the Sanhedrin was afraid of something. They were afraid of, well, just what might happen if Jesus did rise from the dead. Or even if they said he rose from the dead. They were afraid of this movement somehow. They were afraid what Jesus might do or what his people might do or what the story might do. They were afraid. I wondered at times what they were afraid of. What are the things that people really are afraid of? Or what were the Sanhedrin afraid of? What was Pilate afraid of? And really, it was about losing power. Or some of them, these Sanhedrin or these religious leaders, some of them were just afraid that they were wrong about Jesus. Some of them were afraid that they were right about Jesus. And so their fear was real. Their fear was tangible in a sense. Their fear was so much that they wanted to make sure that these tough guards could stand at the tomb so that nothing can happen, so that what they had planned could carry out. And so they put these two big guards. You can imagine these guards at this time, whether they were Roman guards or they were temple guards, these were no weaklings. These were strong guards who were prepared for man-to-man combat, hand-to-hand combat. They were powerful people. Mean people. You can imagine what it would be like to go up against a centurion at this time of history. It would be scary to be up against these guys. These were warriors, battle-worn warriors. So they put these two guys up against the tomb, and what happens? It says when the angel came, they were afraid. They were shaking with fear. You can almost see it and sense it when you read the story. They were shaking with fear, and in fact, it says they fell back like they were dead. I always love that story, that this you can just imagine it, as that these people were so afraid, they could not move. Have you ever been so afraid you couldn't move? I've heard of that on many occasions. I've seen the kids before where they've been afraid. You tell them something and they're just afraid, and they just kind of stop where they are because they can't even move. They can't even respond or react because they don't know what to do. That's kind of what was happening with these disciples or these guards. They were totally afraid. There's other fear in the midst of the story too, these women that came to the tomb that day that were looking for Jesus. We've talked about it before, that these women doing some really terrible things that they had to come to the tomb to do that day. But as they got there, they were afraid. And what was the first thing that the angel said to them? Don't be afraid. Because he brought them good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. And as they ran from the tomb, as they went to go tell his disciples, they met Jesus. It's right after this verse. It's in verse 9 and 10. It says that they were racing away. They met Jesus. They fell at his feet, it said. And they began to worship him. And Jesus looked at them. And so all they said, it still says that they were afraid. He looked at them. And the first words to Jesus was, first words from Jesus to the women were, don't be afraid. That's a pretty common phrase that Jesus offers. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of whatever it is that we're facing. Don't be afraid of Jesus. Don't be afraid of the possibilities. Don't be afraid of me. It's not a ghost that you see. I'm real. And they fell down at his feet. They touched him. They felt him. They knew he wasn't a ghost. They knew that he was real. And they, when they fell at his feet, they began to worship. And their fears began to subside. The reason this is important for us this morning is that I just want to share with you that, well, this story that Jesus, or that we hear about Jesus, is really not uncommon to the things that Jesus said to his disciples on many occasions. He told them many times not to be afraid. Later on in some other stories of the resurrection, Jesus' first words to his disciples were, don't be afraid. Because there's a new day. It's a new day. There's new possibilities that even death can't be overcome by me. I can overcome everything. I can overcome the very final thing that you see in life. Death has been overcome by me. Don't be afraid of death. Kind of the ultimate thing. Don't be afraid of anything else either. You don't have to be afraid any longer. I love the kind of that contradiction that's here. That the women, when they saw Jesus, they fell at his feet. They reached out towards him. The guards, it said, fell away. There's a story in that and a lesson for us. In order to face our fears, in order to discover what it is that God is trying to do with us, we need to recognize that Jesus is present with us. He opens up a new possibility for us, that whatever it is that we fear, there's a possibility in that moment. There's no longer impossibilities with God. That's what the scriptures reveal to us, that with God, all things are possible. If he can overcome death, he can overcome everything else in the midst of our life. And so with Christ, if we reach out towards him, something changes in us. And we no longer have to fear those things that we fear in the midst of this life, whether it's as simple as fearing spiders or fearing the future, or fearing cancer, or fearing failure, or fearing whatever it is that we fear. The answer is simple. You see, there's life after this impossibility. There's life after these fears. In fact, what I believe that this story is telling us is that in the face of our greatest fears, that may be the source of our greatest joy. Just as I told Peggy earlier, that there's times in the midst of her fears, what she's discovering in the midst of her fears, what I've discovered in the midst of my fears, that when I face my fears, there I find really amazing things. Beautiful things, beautiful possibilities that I wouldn't have seen before if I had not faced my fears, if she had not faced her fears, if the disciples hadn't faced their fears, if the women hadn't faced their fears that day. I'm telling you that whatever it is that you fear may be the source of a great blessing, a great joy. But in the same thing, if we want to face that fear, then how do we respond to it? How do we get to that place? I believe it's simple. The women did it all kind of instinctively. The disciples finally did it instinctively down the road. They reached out towards Jesus. In order to face their fears, they reached their hands out towards Jesus. Physically, spiritually, prayerfully, They reach out their hand towards Jesus. Friends, I'm telling you this morning that the simplest way, the first step for us to overcome whatever it is that we fear in the midst of this life is to reach out towards Jesus. It's true for a church. It's true for us individually. It's true for whatever it is that we face. In fact, this afternoon, we're going to face some fears of our own as a church. We're going to face some future possibilities that we don't know. We may not even fully understand, but we're going to be facing those fears of the future. Whether it's fears of failure or fears of something new, something different. That's what this vote really is all about this afternoon, is facing our fears and whether or not we trust the past or trust ourselves or we trust ourselves in the hands of God. But whatever it is we have to do and however it is that we vote today, it's really about reaching our hand out towards Jesus to say we're going to face our fear because we know that in the midst of our fear, we might just find a great blessing and a great joy and a great possibility where we haven't understood it in the past. You see, the women didn't expect Jesus to rise from the dead. The guards surely didn't. The Sanhedrin surely didn't. The disciples surely didn't, even though he told them that over and over, Jesus did. But what they did understand at the end of it is that Christ can do all kinds of things. In fact, Paul said it later to the Philippians. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ. And all it takes is for us as a people, as individuals, to reach our hand out in the midst of our fear, our greatest fear, and to just reach our hand out towards Jesus. Now, what that means, how do we do that? It's quite simple. We can just say to him, I need to trust you in this. It's for us to reach out, just like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat that one time and he tried to walk towards Jesus. He was the only one that did it. It's maybe that time when the disciples were all in the boat and the storm was gathered around them and all they did is they said, Jesus, help! That's where it begins. If we want to face whatever fear it is that's in the midst of our life, we have to reach out, call out to Jesus. It's in a simple prayer, maybe the simplest prayer we'll ever pray. Help, Jesus. Calm me. Calm the circumstance. Help me face it. Help me walk through whatever it is that I'm facing. One of the things that I've found to be true is that he's always there. That's been Jesus' promise, and that's one of the realities of the resurrection, that Christ is now present to us in every circumstance, in our joys, in our failures, and even in our fear. Friends, we don't have to be afraid any longer. Reach out towards Jesus.
We're going to respond at the time of prayer, so I invite you now to center your thoughts on God and offer your fears to God. Thank you. Gracious God, we are your Easter people. And gathering together today on this side of the cross, proclaiming the risen Lord. Lord, we are called to not fear. And what really should we fear? Lord, you have defeated death. You've breathed life into new life into all our circumstances because of who you are and what you've done. Lord, you call us to not fear, and what are we afraid of? Lord, sometimes we're afraid of losing things that we have. Help us offer those to you. Lord, sometimes we're afraid of not getting something we want or we need. Help us to trust in you. For this good news of Easter may be better than we can possibly know. Lord, we are thankful that you have not only defeated death, but you are the very life of life. And you're always nurturing and wooing and calling us, each of us. So give us courage today to live because of you. Help us to act, to react as your Easter people. Lord, we pray for the world that we live in, and we continue to pray for peace and to pray for the poor. We pray for North Korea. Lord, we are reminded how fragile this life can be, but yet our hope is in you and you alone. Lord, just as you were resurrected and more than spirit and more than a movement of people, that you are really alive. Help us to trust in you that you are alive in our life. That in spite of what's going on around us, that you're at work. Whether it's good or bad, help us to trust. You're the creator and sustainer. Lord, pour new life into our circumstances. So, Lord, we do confess that we are afraid. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to be true to your mission and your calling. Help us to not merely react, but may we intentionally respond, being faithful followers of you. We pray this as your church. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like now to thank the ushers as they come forward and they serve us today, and they will collect God's tithes and our offering. Let us welcome them with a song.
You may be seated. I invite my communion servers, if you could go ahead and come and join me here, please, and invite the rest of you to turn in your hymnals to page 17 for the responses for the Great Thanksgiving. Let us share together.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your and join your name in your unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father,
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We, as many as we are one body, and so we all share in the loaf that was broken for us. As we share in this cup, is it not a means of sharing in the very blood of Jesus Christ poured out for us for the forgiveness of sin? The body of Christ broken for us, the blood of Christ shed for us. Thanks be to God. all who want to know him. This morning, we invite you to come forward to follow the directions of the ushers, receive the bread, touch it to the surface of the cup, and eat with great thanksgiving. If you do require gluten-free elements, those are available. Just ask when you come forward. We'll provide them for you. But now, come and meet Christ this morning.
Thank you.
others. Isn't that a great song? What a great song to close with this morning. Just as a great reminder of who this Christ is and what this resurrection means to us. Last week we talked about that resurrection means that, well, the end isn't over. There are new possibilities that Christ is ready to bring new life into dead places. And today, that no matter what we fear, Christ will be present with us always. We don't have to fear any longer. This morning, friends, as we go from this place, may we rejoice and that which Christ is still doing in the midst of our lives, because resurrection is real. Now I want to invite you, before you leave this place, I want to invite you to turn and greet those around you. Introduce yourself to somebody. If there's somebody new sitting close to you, bring them up to meet me. I'd love to meet you this morning.